May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I have a friend named Brad who is a theologian, an author, and a speaker. And he's written several books, and he contributes regularly to several Christian publications. And recently he found himself caught in a contradiction because he writes regularly for two different periodicals. The first is a popular level magazine called Christianity Without the Religion. Clever title. The second is a more scholarly periodical, a journal for the Institute of Peace, Religion, and Justice. So someone called him out on social media. Do you want Christianity without the religion, or do you want religion, peace, and justice? What is it? Do you think that religion is a good thing or a bad thing? That question, I think, provides us a great starting point for our time wrestling with Philippians 3 together this morning. It's a question that's being asked in society in general right now. There seem to be a growing number of people who are openly questioning whether religion really does any good or not. Some go so far as to say that religion is entirely a negative thing. I think maybe conveniently forgetting the massive contributions that various religions have made to society. But this thoroughly kind of negative understanding of religion was a viewpoint that was not often voiced. At least I don't remember it being voiced much when I was growing up, but times have changed. I think this is also a question which is being asked inside the church. There are many who are seeking to redefine Christianity as something other than a religion, as in the magazine Christianity Without the Religion. Father Alexander Schmemann, who's a Greek Orthodox theologian and a liturgist, someone whose writings I admire very much, by all accounts, a very devout and very religious guy. And he says, nowhere in the New Testament is Christianity presented as a cult or as a religion. Religion is needed where there is a wall of separation between God and man, but Christ, who is both God and man, has broken down the wall between man and God. He has inaugurated a new life, not a new religion. Now, as much as I like this quote and am drawn to it, I think it's a bit too easy, maybe even a little dishonest, to bypass all of the negatives associated with religion by sort of dismissively saying, well, Christianity is not a religion, after all. Merriam-Webster defines religion as the service and worship of God or the supernatural, and by that definition, Christianity certainly fits as a religion. But as my friend Brad chose to point out to his social media detractor, there are a lot of competing definitions of the term religion. It can be used in a very positive way to describe faith practices, but it can also be used in a negative way to describe spiritual control and wielding power over people in the name of God. So is religion a good thing or a bad thing? Well, to quote our former priest, Andrew Horn, the answer is yes. Religion is a very good thing when it is pure, and it's a very bad thing when it is toxic. And it's my belief that Philippians 3 helps us to understand the difference. This is a wonderful and remarkable passage. It climaxes in this famous statement, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Most scholars agree that these words were written while Paul was in prison, likely in Rome. He's trying to combat some false teachers who have found their way into the church in Philippi and are doing their best to sort of toxify the religion of the Philippians. From time to time in his epistles, Paul gets immensely personal, and this is one of those times. He provides us with this very brief but very remarkable spiritual autobiography. And in this autobiography, St. Paul shares with us his own journey, his own experience of moving from toxic religion to a pure kind of religion. Now, as we begin, let's put something out of our minds right at the start. This is not, I repeat, not Paul teaching that Judaism is always toxic and Christianity is always pure. in order to come to that conclusion, you actually have to read some modern categories back onto this text. The passage has been interpreted that way down through the centuries far too often, but that's way too simplistic because there's ample evidence that Paul himself still thought of himself as being Jewish in both race and religion. It's also the case that Paul frequently points out examples of toxic forms of Christianity in his pastoral ministry to the various churches, including in the letter to Philippians. That's what he's up to at this exact moment. So the argument of this passage is far more sophisticated than just Judaism bad, Christianity good. So what difference does Paul note between toxic religion and pure religion? Well, as we read about his personal experience, we begin to discern that religion becomes toxic when it is all about human control. There are three ways in which Paul saw his previous religious conduct as being toxic. He notes that toxic religion, or he infers rather, that toxic religion emphasizes sort of exclusivity and standing. It maintains control by limiting entry. And Paul lists the credentials that he was once so proud of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day, meaning, of course, that his parents were also insiders. Toxic religion is all about keeping out the riffraff rather than opening the circle. I was speaking with James a while ago, and he estimates that probably less than half of us here are cradle Anglicans. So a terrible job of keeping out the riffraff, I might say.
After all, they let us in.
They let us in. That wasn't in my notes. That's pure religion is about opening the circle or having this heart, this impulse, this instinct to welcome, to involve, to draw in. Toxic religion tends to get smaller and smaller. It tends to become more and more parochial. Interesting that Paul, in his toxic religion days, would have identified himself not only by his nationality and by his tribe of Benjamin, but by his sort of sub-tribe of the party of the Pharisees as well. That was on his resume as well. The second characteristic, toxic religion tends toward violence, violence that usually begins with words, trading on partial truths which are spiteful and ultimately unhelpful. Don't mention the election. Don't mention the election. But in a way, toxic religion is very much like toxic politics. Lots of negativity. In some cases, though, it moves like toxic politics from words, violent words or unhelpful words to actually violent actions. And for Paul, this meant traveling around persecuting Jewish Christians, imprisoning them, even killing them, trying to bring them in line with his particular version of the faith. Finally, and maybe most importantly, toxic religion fosters spiritual pride, what Paul calls confidence in the flesh. The great irony of toxic religion is that it is, practically speaking, a religion which leaves out God. Now, God's name is still invoked in prayers and sermons, but toxic religion ultimately spends its time on the human level, jockeying for positions, surviving on human cleverness and competition. So having described his own experience of toxic religion, Paul goes on to tell us what he thinks of toxic religion. He uses the Greek word skubalon, and the NIV translates this as rubbish or garbage. And in talking with Brother Jason earlier this week, we agree that that is probably very overly polite. I can think of a perfect contemporary English translation, but I won't use it because I would really like to preach again sometime soon. The slightly less polite King James Version translation, dung, picks it up, though. Clearly, Paul does not have a high opinion of this toxic religion in which he used to live and which he devoted his life to. Why? Because he has seen what pure religion looks like. And for Paul, pure religion looks like the life and example of Jesus. This is one of the most Christocentric passages in all of the books of the New Testament, in one of the most Christocentric books in all of the New Testament. The word Christos, Christ, is used 7 times in just 8 verses. So while toxic religion is about human control leading to death, pure Christian religion, the pure form of the Christian religion, is about the Holy Spirit's control leading to resurrection and to life. And again, for Paul, the perfect example of that Spirit-controlled life is Christ himself. There are a whole bunch of characteristics of pure religion that can be sussed out of this text, but let's just limit ourselves to 3. First, pure religion is humble. Notice the words, I want. When we say, I want, it means we don't have, and that is the case for Paul. He doesn't yet have this. Pure religion aspires to be more than I am, more than we are right now. He makes this more explicit in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. So you can hear this aspiration. And keep in mind, this is the great St. Paul, one of the greatest figures in the history of the church, and he's admitting that he's still figuring it out. Can you hear the humility here? My friends, if you feel like you have it all together, there's a decent chance that you are practicing toxic rather than pure religion. Secondly, pure religion is co-suffering. I want to know Christ, says Paul, and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. What does this mean? Commentator Gordon Fee, I think, helped me get on the right track with this. He says, knowing Christ involves sharing in his sufferings and is a cause for joy, not because suffering is enjoyable, but because it is certain evidence of an intimate relationship with the Lord. He goes on to say, Christ's sufferings are not sufferings in general, but those sufferings that culminated in his death, which was for the sake of others. Key phrase. So there's this sense in which we are united in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings when we suffer alongside those for whom Christ suffered. When you join in suffering with someone else in the name of Christ, you are sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And so pure religion, in contrast to this toxic instinct to keep the riffraff out and to close ourselves off, is actually always putting itself out there. It's always finding those who are suffering and identifying with them to share the life of Christ with them. One of the simple changes that occurred, I was in pastoral ministry for a long time in a different denomination, and becoming Anglican, one of the simple changes that occurred that has been very profound is that there is an expectation and an encouragement and time set aside each week, or each every second week at least, for me to go to the hospital and to spend time with people who are suffering. That is a privilege, and it's a priority that was often neglected in previous ministries, but it is at the center of pure religion. James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress. Pure religion, third, is hopeful. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Well, toxic religion thrives on fear, thrives on pointing out the danger and the destruction that is imminent. Pure religion is more optimistic. Pure Christian religion clings to the hope that if God has overcome death itself in Christ, what is really left to be afraid of? If Jesus was raised, then there is no time for cynicism. There is no time for fear. True religion is sold out to the premise that God will make and is making all things new. This passage provides an invitation for us, I think, during this Lenten season to examine our own practice and experience of the Christian religion. Is our faith mostly about fear? Is our faith mostly about pride or pedigree? Is our faith mostly about exclusion? Is our faith taking on a violent or controlling tone? These are signs of toxic religion. Or is our faith about humility, about grace expressed in co-suffering love, about hope? Because that's where Jesus lives. And St. Paul was fully confident that truly knowing Christ can lead to pure religion. And ultimately, if we are to keep our Christian faith from becoming toxic, if we are to live a life-giving faith, it will be because with Paul, we make it our central goal and our deep, deep passion to know Christ. May it be so for each of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.